Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. Libby, you know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
I've been thinking about how wonderful it makes me feel to volunteer my time for local organizations.
You're so right. There's so many great opportunities in Toledo to give back.
100%.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and it's really cool, too, because you can find the thing that you're passionate about and then find an organization that matches up with your mission and go that way.
And you know what? I actually heard that April is National Volunteer Month.
No way.
It's a great time.
And who better to tell us all about volunteering than our lovely guest today. What's up, Ashley?
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for being here.
Of course.
We're really excited to get all of your insights about volunteering.
Thank you.
So get us started a little bit on your background. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about, you know, growing up, like where did you grow up? Mm-hmm. What got you interested in the things that you're interested in today? Tell us all about you.
Okay, so I grew up in Monroe, Michigan. So not too far from Toledo. I've gone to Catholic schools my whole life, and I was very active in Girl Scouts. Mm. So I've always had service being at the forefront of everything that I've been doing. So service is something that I've always been passionate about.
Yeah.
And then after high school, I went to Eastern Michigan University, and I actually first went for fashion design and marketing.
Ooh, that's so cool.
And I kind of lost myself in it, and I wasn't feeling really passionate. And what I enjoyed doing was research and learning new things. So I pivoted, and I have my bachelor's degree in marketing and business administration.
Nice.
And I wanted to focus that and do more market research.
Yeah.
So after college, I went right into corporate America. I got a job with Estee Lauder Companies.
Ooh.
And so I would work at different counters, so whether it's at a Sephora or whether it's at a department store, and I would go there and see what's working, what's not working, and kind of go from there and see what kind of things we can do marketing-wise or sale-wise. And then I went back to Monroe to the Lazy Boy World headquarters and did some more.
Yes, Lazy Boy.
Yes.
Well, but I'm curious too, because obviously like your career journey did not stop there.
No.
But take us kind of back to your college experience.
Okay.
And tell us about, you know, where you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you talked about what you studied. But like tell us more about that experience and what you were working on while you were there.
So while I was at Eastern, I was heavily involved in a lot of organizations. I was in the American Marketing Association.
Yes.
I was in an honor society, and I was actually the president of that honor society.
Nice.
So we did a lot of service-focused things as well. The big thing when you're in college is the Relay for Life.
Mm.
And I loved doing that. I loved getting volunteers. I loved being able to participate. It's so much fun to just be a part of a cause that's bigger than yourself, but it's also a fun time to do Relay for Life.
Yeah.
You know, you're there for 24 hours. You have to, like, walk around with your friends. But you're also playing fun games and you're hanging out. And it just made me realize, okay, volunteering can be fun. And I don't think a lot of people associate that. And so service was still, okay, this is coming back to me. I'm finding my groove again. I really like it. But I didn't think that nonprofit is what I wanted to do, especially with a marketing degree, because it's what am I going to do in nonprofit? What am I going to do? And so I went the corporate America route, and I just wasn't feeling fulfilled. I wasn't feeling satisfied. And then COVID happened, and I lost my job, and I had to work remote. And so I said, what am I going to do? Okay, I have this marketing degree. Let me do social media marketing.
Mm.
And so I would reach out to different local businesses that were having issues because of COVID with marketing. And I'm like, let me help you. You know, let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can do to get your, you know, business up and running. And I loved working locally with people. And I said, okay, what can I do? What can I do? And through different connections and different, you know, relationships that I have, I found myself now at Imagination Station, and I'm having the time of my life. I can remember in my interview, they're like, what's your dream job? And I said this.
Oh, I love that.
So it's really great, and especially, you know, growing up in the area, I can remember going to Imagination Station when I was younger, and it's so much fun to think, oh my gosh, this is my job. Like, I get to work at a museum that everyone is having so much fun. I mean, you get to play all day, we work hard, but we also play hard, and it's so much fun. And I get to work with everyone from teenagers in high school all the way to, we have a lot of retired teachers that like to come back and give back. And it's just so rewarding, and it's so fulfilling. And I just, I mean, I get really excited about my job.
I know. I joke with Livvy all the time that anytime I'm having a bad day, I walk across the street from my office and I just run around the Imagination Station.
No, it's so much fun. There's always stuff to do. I mean, Livvy and I, we're always like, do you want to go for a walk? Let's go play in this exhibit. And it's just so much fun. And I love being in downtown. We're really at the heart of downtown. And now that the weather is warming up, we get to go on our little walks. And it's just, it's so much fun to be a part of a city that really cares about its people and cares about the organizations that are there.
So your current title, you're the Development and Volunteer Specialist.
Yes.
Kind of give us a rundown of what all that entails for you.
So I run the whole volunteer department. So from teens to young adults to groups that want to come in. We work a lot with differently abled adults. We have four groups that come in every week, and they volunteer and give back to the community. I work with retired teachers. And so I do everything from getting them enrolled and doing orientations all the way to, you know, getting them set up with different events, different activities. Seeing what they like, what they don't like. We also work out in the community, so just kind of connecting them that way as well. And I go out to different schools and I talk about service and leadership, especially in the high school level, why service is important and building a leader. I love going out to high schools because I always say talking to a bunch of six-year-olds is so much easier than talking to adults. And it's a great way to, you know, if you want to go into public speaking or if you want to get more confident, volunteering is the best way when you're a teenager to, you know, put your foot in the door. And and on the development side, I work with our development department with fundraising, you know, getting donors to come in and who want to give back to a cause. I think volunteerism and philanthropy, you know, we always talk about time, talent, and treasure. And so sometimes people are not able to give their time because they're working full time, but some people feel very highly about a cause. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay, well, I can't give you my time, but what about money, or how can I help improve it? And it's so easy working for such an amazing organization. I mean, who doesn't want to help raise, you know, education awareness and, you know, help kids explore the sciences. I mean, the science is the future and the kids are the future. And I think it's, I think it's, I don't know. Well, it's really fun.
And it's beautiful too, because, you know, the three T's are talked about a lot, but it's like none of the T's are more important than the other.
No.
You know, like people who volunteer several hours of their time or even just a little bit of their time to an event, it's just as meaningful to the mission as somebody who is able to donate some funds. It's really whatever you can give.
Right. And I think, too, when we think about time, talent, and treasure, especially being a science museum, I think people think that their talent has to be science. Mm. I have retired English teachers. I have, you know, kids who want to be in theater. I have, there's so many different things. You don't have to box yourself into something just because that's what the organization is. Like, you could volunteer at your library and do, you know, historical research or genealogy, or it's not necessarily, oh, I know books and I'm an English major and I want to do that. It's just about, you know, I think your talent is what you're passionate about, not just the skills that you have. And, you know, giving your time is great. Giving your money is great. Giving yourself is great. I think volunteering is a really selfless act, whether it's giving your time, your talent, or your treasure.
So. Absolutely. And, I mean, working alongside you at Imagination Station, I've watched you really grow the program. And I want to hear more than a mm-hmm. little bit about what it was like when you first started and versus where it is now and kind of what challenges you mm-hmm. face and also what has been rewarding in doing so.
So when I first started, even when I started to interview, I wasn't even aware that you could volunteer at the Imagination Station. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of the roadblocks that people face is they're like, I care about this, but I don't know how I can help. Mm-hmm. And so doing my research, I was like, okay, so they do have a volunteer program. And it was really great. I got to meet some amazing volunteers. We have one volunteer who has been with us for over 10 years. She tends to our garden and it's just so amazing. And then we have other volunteers who have been a retired teacher and he's given his time as well for 10 years. So it was so refreshing to start a program with a set of volunteers who deeply care about the organization.
Yeah.
So it made it really easy for me to learn about what they like doing is, or what would they want to change. And so it was really great to get that feedback from them. But, you know, being an organization, we needed more help. We needed more assistance, especially I got hired in February and we were already gearing up for the summer. Mm-hmm. And we needed help desperately with our summer camp. So I said, okay, boots on the ground, let's start recruiting some teenagers. And I think it was easy for me to fall back. I went to a Catholic high school, so I knew I needed service hours to graduate.
Oh, yeah.
So reaching out to those high schools, it was easy because I'm able to get teens who are focused on service and who are focused on leadership and who, you know, want to give back to their community.
Right.
Sometimes it is, yes, I have to give back. But other times I've found so many amazing teens who, you know, like we have one teen who she wants to be a teacher now because she volunteered at summer camp. And it's just, it's so rewarding to see that. So I was able to build up our teen program. Last summer we had over 50 teenagers come in and volunteer all summer. And they gave us over 3,000 hours of service, which wow. is amazing.
Yeah.
We were able to end the year with almost 6,000 hours just in general for volunteers. And it's just so amazing. Every time I look back and I see the growth, it makes me so excited. But now it makes me so scared for this year because I'm just like, okay, we have to keep growing. Like the momentum is going. We have to keep growing.
Right.
But I think because I'm really passionate about my job and the work that I do, I think it makes recruitment really easy mm-hmm. because I care so deeply about service and I care so deeply about our organization. I feel, not to jazz myself up, but I feel like it's magnetic. If yeah. you're excited about it, everyone is going to get excited about it. So I think just having that compassion and having the passion and the compassion to, you know, give back, I think that's really what's helped grow. Our goals for the future is we just want to keep growing and growing. I mean, our biggest goal right now is finding young adults and young professionals who want to give back as well. So that is my challenge for this year.
Well, and that's what's so interesting is you've talked about it, but mm-hmm. you work with such a wide range
yeah.
of ages
yeah.
and demographics mm-hmm. there. So, you know, from teens and those young professionals mm-hmm. that you're talking about all the way up to those seniors. So when you're looking at these volunteers, mm-hmm. do you have different goals for mm-hmm. what you want them to get out of the experience, or do they come to you with different goals? And then how do you kind of manage that when yeah. you're working with so many different people?
I think when, for myself personally, when I'm finding a new volunteer, I like to do a phone interview with them and I like mm-hmm. to get to know them and I like to see what they like, what they don't like. With my high schoolers, I like to see, okay, what other organizations are you a part of? Or what do you think you might want to go to school for?
Yeah.
Or what are you passionate about? I have one girl who she said, you know, I'm really excited about astrophysics. And I said,
ooh.
When I was your age, I had no idea what astrophysics is, but I will find something for you. So I think, you know, just getting to know someone and kind of finding what their goals are. Or I have some kids who come in and they say, I don't know, I think I just want to be a leader in my community. So I can take that and say, okay, let me give them more of a leadership role. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll ask, what kind of skills do you want to improve? And if they say public speaking or being more confident, I'm like, great. I've got a group of 6-year-olds who you can read a story to and they will love that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, finding what someone wants. I think a lot of times when you sign up for volunteer work, it's, okay, well, you're going to put food in a bag and, you know, you're going to load this truck, which is rewarding in itself. But finding someone or finding something for someone where it's like, I really like this. It's like, okay, how can I turn this into a volunteer role? Or how can I make sure that this person has a rewarding experience? Because yeah. I want them to feel great, but I also want them to feel so great that they tell someone. Mm-hmm. And so whether they tell someone about our volunteer program or that inspires someone else to volunteer someplace else in the community, I think that's just like a win-win.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's true. I mean, like literally anybody can go and volunteer, but mm-hmm. there's a huge difference in retention.
Yeah.
And we talk about this with the mm-hmm. Epic Young Professionals because we volunteer yeah. a lot of places too. And it's like you can tell when people have a yeah. really great time. They want to sign up more for that particular mm-hmm. thing or even for the volunteer series mm-hmm. as a whole. So it's really important. I love that you're connecting things that they yeah. love with that mission of giving back.
Yeah. If we have a group that comes in and they say, you know, I mean, we just had girl power. Yeah. And so if they're like, we really want to help with activities, I say, okay, then I'm going to put you guys with activities. Or if someone comes in and says, I don't really care, we're just here to help out, I say, okay, well, where's the gap? What do we need filled? And then I can place them there so I can prioritize, okay, well, if this is what they really want to do, I want them to have a good time. But if these people are just like, we're here to help, so use us where you want to use us, then I can fill in those gaps as well. So
yeah. In addition to working yeah. with lots of different age groups, you yeah. also work with individuals with different abilities. Mm-hmm. And you've been working really hard to make sure that these opportunities are accessible yeah. for everyone.
Yeah.
So I want to hear a little bit more about why this is so important to mm-hmm. you and then like some of the things that you are doing to foster that inclusive program.
So when I first came to Imagination Station, one of our values, one of our missions is science is for everyone. So I took that and I said, okay, how can I make volunteering for everyone? I think so many times we think about, like we had said before, you have to have a certain skill or you have to have a certain background to be able to volunteer, do something. We were already working with a group of adults with different abilities, and I said, this is great. Like, what can we do? Like, how can we help improve interaction? And so we started doing more kits and building more community services or community kits that way. And another group reached out to me and said, hey, I heard you have groups of differently abled adults. What can we do to sign up? And I said, all you have to do is fill this out. I'll have a conversation with you. And then they came in and they said, so we understand, like, you know, our adults have different abilities, so we're probably doing janitorial work. I said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. And they're like, well, that's kind of like the opportunities that we get. And I said, no, that's not what's going to happen.
Wow.
And so I said, well, what skills are you trying to work on? Because usually when there's different day services, they're trying to either have skills for life or skills to have a job. Mm-hmm. So if they come to me and they say, well, these individuals are really looking to have a job, and if that's really what they want and they're looking for a janitorial job, of course I will get them in touch with our facilities team. But most of the time they're working on being better communicators, mm-hmm. feeling more confident, feeling like they belong in a community. Sometimes yeah. it's teamwork. Sometimes it's just being able to communicate with each other. And so one group that we work with, they said, you know, we really want to work on public speaking and our individuals feeling confident. And I said, okay, well, we can put them in a front-facing role. And they looked at me and I said, no, if we can put you in a front-facing role, that's totally okay. And that's when we had our hockey exhibit, and they were ticket takers at first, and they were just working on, you know, saying, this is our hockey exhibit, or where the bathrooms were to, like, help guests. And then about 2 weeks in, they were working in our activity in the hockey rink. And they were playing with kids and telling them, okay, only one person at a time. And, oh, your turn is done. And, you know, you see their attitudes changing. You see their faces light up. You see them get excited. And it's just so rewarding because some organizations might not have given them that just because they're differently abled. But, I mean, they're able to do anything that you ask of them, you know, just because, you know, maybe they look different than us, or maybe, you know, it doesn't matter what their, you know, different ability is they can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to give them the chance and the opportunity. And, you know, I work with some really amazing organizations, and it's just so exciting that now that they want to include me in things, and it just feels so great to give back to these people that might not have been given these opportunities just because they're differently abled. And it's so rewarding. I mean, it's my favorite. I could cry.
It's
my favorite part of my job.
It's genuinely such a testament too to the importance of this role, of having someone who is specifically catering to volunteer coordination and services, because like you said, other organizations are always seeking volunteers, but they might not be utilizing people in the best way. And I think that that's just so wonderful that you're able to kind of work with these groups to not only get them to help with your mission, but then, you know, you're helping them on their journey too.
It's just, I mean, it's so rewarding. I mean, Libby's gone to a few events that they've included me on, and it's such, I could cry right now. It's just so rewarding to see them just so excited. And
they're always so excited to see Ashley too. Like, always.
That's so
sweet.
She's
always getting such sweet notes, and you can really tell the impact that she makes on these
individuals. Like today they said, can you please have lunch with us? Can you please have lunch with us? And it's honestly my favorite part of my job.
I love that.
So then outside of Imagination Station, you are the president of DOVIA, Directors of Volunteers and Agencies of Northwest Ohio.
Yes.
Give us the rundown of this organization's mission and then your role as the president.
So this organization is kind of a network professional development for volunteer coordinators, volunteer supervisors, volunteer managers of either big nonprofits like we have or smaller nonprofits that are, you know, just trying to get boots on the ground. And what we at DOVIA do is we provide that network, but we also provide that professional development so that other volunteer coordinators can grow. Volunteer coordinating that's not something you go to college for and you take course loads on course loads of how to interact with people or what to do in certain situations. I'm looking to get my master's and there's maybe one class on volunteer management and that's it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like, hey, what do I do? And it's so, like, you need a network and you need that group of people who are like, okay, well, maybe we're not a science museum, but we do have over 50 volunteers, and this is what's worked for us.
Yeah.
And it's just a great way to just connect. And so we have 4 meetings a year where we call it our coffee chats, where we go to a different nonprofit and we talk about, you know, what's working, what's not working, and what we can do, brainstorm off of each other, and then we do a little networking event. We host community volunteer fairs, and then we try to offer 2 different types of professional development that is just focused on volunteer management. So whether that's we have someone coming in talking about best ways for recruiting, or I usually like to talk about how teens are an untapped market, and just something that can help develop them more as professionals. It's just specifically catered to that. And then what I do as president is I just kind of lead the events. I mean, Riley, you know what it's like. I mean, you run EPIC. So basically it's you're doing everything from planning to coordinating to sometimes I'm the social media person. Sometimes I'm the one sending out the newsletters. Sometimes I'm, you know, people are calling me and they're like, hey, I'm trying to find volunteers, or hey, we have 6 students who are going into healthcare. Do you know where we can find a volunteer opportunity? I say, okay, let me get you connected with like a hospice, or let me see what I can get you connected with. So it's
just wearing all the hats.
I literally wear all the hats.
Yes,
I know.
Girl.
I always tell Libby, I'm like, I think I'm girl bossing too hard.
Girl bossing too close to the sun.
Yes.
No, because that's incredible work, and we are going to have an off the podcast conversation about getting involved with EPIC,
yes.
which is great.
No, of course.
But you know. I think we've hit a lot in this episode on how volunteering is obviously important because of the ways that it impacts the groups that you're volunteering with. But I think, too, like, there is kind of a buy-in necessary from some of the volunteers that are like, you know, I am so tired from the day or I am kind of sick of giving all this time to other things and want to spend some time for myself, whatever. Talk a little bit about how these young professionals with busy schedules and that target group that you're looking to hit, like they kind of make volunteering take a back seat sometimes, which is, to me, not the right way to kind of enact that service toward your community. So talk a little bit about, like, tips that you have for what kind of opportunities to look out for, how you can get those young professionals more engaged.
Let me go back, because this is something that I'm really not excited about, because it's kind of sad, but that really kind of drives me, is young adults are facing what we call the loneliness epidemic. If you look in the 90s and the early 2000s, young adults would usually have 8 or 10 friends that they would go out with and consistently see, and I'm talking face-to-face see, and do different activities and different events. Now, I think we're so consumed by technology and social media. I mean, I'm lucky if I get to hang out with my friends once every 3 months. You know, we're all so involved and we're all so busy, but I feel like we're all missing the community aspect of life. And it's really sad because, I mean, social media is great. I think it's great for getting the word out there, and it's a great way to learn how you can find a cause that you want to volunteer for. But I think we're missing that community and that connection aspect, which is volunteering, how that can help bridge that loneliness epidemic for you. So I think the best thing for young adults is to say, what do I care about? What skills do I have, or what do I want to give? And when can I give? I think people, I don't know, I think when they think of volunteering, they're like, well, I can't volunteer every week because I work 40 hours a week. And I'm like, girl, I do too.
Yeah.
You know, I find,
okay, all in the same boat, babe. Like, literally.
You're right. I work 40 hours a week, plus I drive to work, plus I have all these other organizations I'm involved in.
Oh, and by the way, I volunteer also.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, yeah, there's like 3 events that I need to volunteer for this week. And I think it's just kind of finding what you're passionate about, because I think if you find that passion, you'll find the time.
For sure.
It's just like in our regular life. It's, you know, if there's something that we want to do, we'll make the time for it.
Yeah.
And so I think if you really want to give back, which I think everyone should, find what you're passionate about. Maybe that's, I don't know, going to an organization that you care about. I still volunteer when I can at the library. So they have different authors events. So if I find, oh, I really like this author and I'd like to give my time to that, I make time. Is it 3 hours out of my life for like 6 months? Yeah. I mean, I don't volunteer as much as I would like to. But if I find something that I'm passionate about and I care about, I'll make the time for it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's kind of the focus. Or if you're looking to improve a skill, I mean, summer's coming up and Habitat for Humanity is going to be in full swing. So, you know, maybe you're like, I want to learn how to, like, do things on my own. Like, maybe I just want to learn how to build a wall. Like, go build a wall, girl.
No, literally. Literally. Go build, girl.
Like, you know, if that's what you want to do, or if you're like, hey, I want to learn how to be a better cook. There's so many food banks or other food resources that, you know, you can learn how to cook or, you know, improve your skills. And I think that people are just like, well, I don't want to just stuff bags and put them in a car. It's not about that. It's, okay, like, give 2 hours of your time. I mean, for our program, when I'm interviewing volunteers, they always ask, what are the requirements? I don't have requirements because I have a life, and I'm sure everyone else has a life.
Yep.
And I already have requirements personally on my life, and I don't need another box that I need to tick off. I mean, I have retired teachers that do come in every week, and I'm so thankful and I'm so appreciative of that because they really help with day-to-day activities that we do. But I'm appreciative of the adults who come in and help us with, you know, our one-off events that we have. I mean, that's still amazing, and that helps out our organization so much.
Yeah.
Especially when we have these events and we're like, we need 15 people. Where can we find them? If you come in one day and that's the only time I ever see you and communicate with you, just know that I'm so grateful that you even gave me 3 hours of your time.
Yes, exactly.
So I think don't feel like you have to put yourself into a box for commitment. Just the commitment, make the commitment to yourself to give back.
Yeah, 100%.
So finally, before we get to our favorite Roman Empire, give us your piece of advice for young professionals.
Oh my gosh. Well, if someone has advice to give me, I'll take it. I think the advice that I would give to young professionals is just find what you're passionate about and follow it. You could be passionate about, I don't know, pens. And like, if that's what you want to be passionate, like be passionate about it and be own and like own it. Just, you know, find your passion and let that guide you. I think for myself personally, I graduated from college and I said, okay, I need to get a job. I need to make money. I need to do this, this, and this. And I was so burnt out in corporate America. And now that I'm going back to what I'm passionate about, which is service and philanthropy, I feel so fulfilled. Like, I could have a 50-hour work week, and I'd be like, dang, that was great.
Yeah.
You know, we can get done with an event, and it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, that was still so much fun.
Yeah.
And I think just feeling that passion is what can give you that reward. So if you're burnt out and you're feeling stuck, maybe it's time for a pivot. And the other thing is, it's never too late to change your mind. Mm. I think that's some other advice that I would wish I would have given myself when I was younger, especially in college, because you're so stuck into, okay, well, I gave 2 years to a major, and I'm like, I have to finish this. And then until someone's like, no, you don't, like, just start over. It's just another year.
Right.
Like, just give yourself another year, and then you'll have the job that you want, and it'll take you to where you want to be. Do you want to stay here for 2 more years and be miserable, or 3 years and then be done and be fine with it?
Yeah.
So just don't beat yourself up if you have to change your mind. So that would be, I guess, 2 pieces of advice. Sorry.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire.
Of course not.
Who's going to kick us off today?
I think you are.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, little old me? Here's what I have to say, you guys. My Roman Empire forever and always is going to be heated rivalry.
Yeah.
And listen,
I know you've been waiting to talk about this one.
I've been sitting on it for a minute, okay? And it's time for me to finally say my feelings. So I think not only is this just like a revolutionary book series, and if you haven't read all of the books, please do that because they're like really incredible. But what's really interesting is they adapted this show on absolutely the lowest budget ever with unknown actors, pretty much all unknown actors except for a few who had been in some things. But really just the way that it is perceived is what I think is truly my Roman Empire. You have some people who are very much into reading between the lines of this content, right? They're looking at it and they're saying, wow, all of the social justice issues regarding being queer in such a hyper-masculine and toxic environment of a sport like hockey is very, very interesting. And then kind of looking at it from that lens, while also then looking at it from, look at all of the things that these two individual players have had to overcome for vastly different reasons. You know, dealing with obviously the homophobia, one of them is Russian and lives in Russia with his family, and they're extremely strict on their rules in Russia in terms of being queer. And then on the other hand, you have an Asian American and Asian Canadian hockey player who is, you know, dealing with some of the racial implications that come with that. And that's fascinating. But then you just have this beautiful love story on top of it all. Like, just so incredible. These two just go through pretty much every obstacle over the course of a decade to be together. And then it's just lovely how it all plays out. And that's all I'll say on that. Although if you haven't watched it by now, you really need to. And I'm like kind of genuinely begging. But then you have the people who have kind of adopted this. And I am not going to explicitly say it's just straight people, but I have seen them be the loudest about this particular view, where they're like, oh, wow, these guys are so hot and this is such a steamy show and that's why I'm watching it. Which, like, listen, I don't want to yuck someone else's yum. That's great. If that's why you're watching this show, that's excellent. Although I will say, take the time to understand that this show goes deeper than just being a steamy romance. It is a meaty piece of a show. The scripts are so well written. And I will say, I'm a stickler for book to movie or book to TV adaptations. And this one is brilliantly done. Brilliant. And so I just, you know, Jacob and all the rest of the cast that's a part of it, like the way they created this show, I'm forever in awe. It's life changing. The books are life changing. And that's that on that. I'm sat
really
until season
two.
I'm
really happy you got to say your piece.
Thank you. You guys, I've been waiting months to talk about Heated Rivalry. So that was as fast as I possibly could have gone. It now someone else hit me up with their Roman Empire.
Mine is not that well thought out, in all honesty. But I have fallen into the TikTok algorithm of edits.
Edit
all the time. And I mean, from everything, like definitely Heated Rivalry edits, but it's just insane, like the things that these editors are doing for just no credit, like just amazing clips where they're, I mean, you can tell just how many hours and hours and hours of work went through pulling all of that footage, picking the music and timing out every moment to tell a different story. And it's
really an art form.
In and of itself, which is just something so new. And I just don't think that it's recognized how it should be.
Yeah, 100%. I think there should be a separate category of awards for editors in TikTok specifically, but also like social media
there's some
edits.
There's like some not great ones, but there's some really amazing pieces on TikTok that I've just been lucky to see with my own eyes.
Genuinely. And like you said, the Heated Rivalry ones, again, not to make this about me and Heated Rivalry, but let me tell y'all, I have been sick to my core, sick to my stomach over some of those edits. Crazy.
Fantastic.
Have you guys seen the, I think it's like Yellowstone National Park, their edits?
Actual gas.
Really good.
Makes me want to go to Yellowstone.
It's working.
Truly.
It's
working. And that edits as a marketing tool. Like, I don't even have time to get into all that because, like, that is just mint. All right, Ashley, hit us up.
Okay. I've thought really long and really hard about this. But I would say my Roman Empire are American Girl dolls.
Oh, I am so glad that you chose to speak on this topic.
Okay. As an American Girl doll lover, I had Molly.
Yes.
I had Samantha.
Of course.
And I had the one that looked like me.
Yes.
Because I had to be that girl.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
And still to this day, like Libby and I were talking about, I wonder what Felicity would be up to right now.
Girl, what is Felicity, what is Kit Kittredge doing right now?
What is Molly doing in this world?
It's crazy how connected I still feel to all of their stories and characters.
Genuinely.
I mean, I love it. I feel like the American Girl dolls that the girls have today, they're not the OG. They don't understand. Like, no. And I think about these, because we're talking about edits, mm-hmm. I follow these Instagram accounts where it's like this American Girl doll, like, and then fill in the blank, like this American Girl doll is obsessed with Heated Rivalry, and it's always like wearing like some comfy cozy thing, or this American Girl doll just needs a Diet Coke and a break.
Yes.
And it's just like me.
No, genuinely, those are actually probably my favorite meme format right now. They're so funny.
It's so funny.
But I love it.
American Girl dolls.
I love it.
Did you ever go to the American Girl doll store?
I have never been.
Oh my gosh, we're going.
So a road trip is in order.
I've always wanted to go to the one in Chicago.
Yes.
Where I grew up, we had this like off-brand American Girl store mm-hmm. where you could go in, but you could also have tea parties with your American Girl dolls.
Yes.
But if we go now, I would want to go and bring my old Molly.
Yeah,
she
100%.
Probably looks like she's been through it.
That's why they have the salon there too, girl.
Right.
We'll take her to the salon.
Mom,
the
get my dolls out of the basement.
Get my dolls. We're going on a road trip.
They need to be pampered from 10 years
yes.
of neglect.
Like, oh my gosh. Yes. No.
I love it. I love it. Wow. Thank you. That's truly a revolutionary Roman Empire.
Thank you.
I'm just in awe. Thank you. And thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yes,
we're so happy to hear your insight.
No, I told Libby yesterday, I'm so honored to be on the show. Like, I think what you guys do in the community just in general is amazing. And I think this is awesome. And I think, you know, young professionals are, we're out here, we're killing it.
Yes. So, we are killing it.
We are killing it.
We want to thank Ashley Runnels, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley. Our executive producer is the amazing Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts. Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.